let's make... Then God said, let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals, all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humans in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Then God formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. This past week was the United Nations 27th COP conference, an international climate change conference which this year was held in Egypt. Because of this, and because we have been studying creation in our Bible study this past 6 weeks, I wanted to talk about our planet Earth. This past spring, I listened to a podcast and read a magazine article by Deborah Reinstra, blogger and author of Refugee of Faith, Seeking Hidden Shelters, Ordinary Wonders, and the Healing of the Earth. She explains our role in creation in a new, urgent, and hopeful way. She talks about how we need to think about creation care in a new way, to move on from mere stewardship. In today's scripture reading, we saw there are two creation accounts in Genesis. According to theologian Walter Brueggemann, neither are historical accounts, a record of actual events. Nor are they myth, a traditional story that contains a truth handed down through the ages. Brueggemann sees them both as a proclamation to the people of Israel. A proclamation is a declaration of truth or a piece of news. In the Christian sense, it is a word from God. The first Genesis account proclaims to the people that they are of great value in creation. God has a special role for them. This creation story, Brueggemann says, was probably developed during the exile in Babylon, about 600 years before Christ, when the people of Israel were feeling oppressed, powerless, and overwhelmed by the dominant Babylonian culture. The story they were telling themselves was, we are losers. God gives them another story to set them straight. God says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. People at that time must have wondered, should we even have children? Children that are just going to be born into slavery? God says, yes, you are not losers. You have dignity and worth. There is hope for the future. I have a job for you. The second account was probably written down even earlier, during the time of Solomon, about 960 years before Christ. This was a time of great power and prominence for Israel, its glory days. This account proclaims to the people that they are to be caregivers of creation, not dominators. After all, as Genesis 2:7 says, then the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground. The word Adama, from which Adam gets his name, means soil. We are just dust. But still, we have an important role to play. Genesis 2 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it." Stephen Bouma Prediger, author of the book For the Beauty of the Earth, A Christian Vision for Creation Care, prefers the word earth keepers to describe our role. Isn't that a better word picture? To sum up the two proclamations, Brueggemann says, "You who are in despair, remember, you have dignity. And you who seem to rule, remember, you are dust. You are part of creation." We need both these proclamations, today and always. And Deborah Reinstra proposes a third proclamation, but more on that later. So let's look at number one first. Human beings do have a special role in creation. We have big brains, opposable thumbs, and an upright gait, freeing up the use of our hands. Because of this, humans have the ability to shape their world, invent, communicate, create. Genesis 1 states that God gave them the job of oversight of creation. But we took God's words, subdue and dominion, and interpreted them as a mandate, a job description, even a license for human beings' dealings with the earth. And humans, being humans, took full advantage of this license and treated the earth as if it was an infinite source of wealth, pleasure, and comfort. Instead of treating the earth, its plants, animals, and people as partners and fellow citizens of earth, as kin or friends, humans have treated them as resources to be used until they are used up. This has often been extended even to the use of humans as objects and slaves. And that's why we are in the situation we are in today. Global temperatures are rising, causing uncontrollable wildfires in some areas and devastating floods in others. The Antarctic ice shelf is breaking off and falling into the Antarctic Ocean. The Gulf Stream, a massive ocean current that generates much of the world's weather, is actually slowing down and could come to a complete stop. The saddest thing I have ever heard is that the earth shine of our planet is getting dimmer. Our beautiful, bright planet is not as bright anymore when seen from space. It's about 0.5 of a watt per square meter dimmer than it was in the 90s. And the use and abuse of other humans has wrought untold misery and disruption to our world. That's how the Israelites ended up in Babylon. But while the proclamation to the Israelites in exile was intended to encourage them and give them dignity, it may not be the proclamation that we need to hear today. Maybe we need to hear that we are, first of all, made of dust. So let's look at proclamation number two. We are to care for the earth, to till and to keep. We are to be earth keepers. We are not the boss, we are the caretaker. We are not overlords, we are fellow creatures caring for our brother earth. In Genesis 2, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it." Instead of treating our planet as a warehouse or a gold mine just waiting for us to buy it or dig it up and use it, we are told to tend it like a garden or a farm. Those of you who garden or farm or ranch or pick berries or fish know that you have to treat the animals and plants you harvest with respect. You need to respect the deer and the fish and keep an eye on their numbers. You need to provide your cattle and sheep and pigs with good pasture, hay, and grain. Likewise, the soil. You cannot just keep planting and harvesting year after year without paying attention to the health of the soil. You must rotate your crops, add compost or manure or other nutrients. You have to be an earth keeper. But these days, there is more that needs to be done. When the proclamation was given to humanity, It was given in the context of Adam and Eve living in the Garden of Eden, a paradise on earth. In case you haven't noticed, we are no longer living in the Garden of Eden. We live in a deeply damaged, wounded, and sick world. So that brings us to proclamation number 3, one that takes into consideration that we are no longer living in the Garden of Eden. We must figure out how to heal the earth, because the earth is sick. It has large bald patches where once there was jungle and forest. It has bleached zones where once there were colorful coral reefs. It has dried up rivers which once boiled with salmon. It has a fever. It has lung disease. Its circulation is sluggish. We have to be more than keepers of the earth. We have to move on, as Deborah Reinstra says, to become healers of the earth. For that, we can incorporate both previous proclamations. Genesis 1 tells us that we have dominion over creation. That is a crazy amount of power to wield, and we have wielded it. We are brilliant. We have invented, created, improved, and advanced in every way. Everything from a cooking fire to the wheel to the steam engine to the telephone, the internet, and space travel have come out of our ability to shape our world. We are the only animals with this type of power. And Genesis 2 tells us that we are to care for, not exploit, the earth. People all over the world are working to care for the earth. They are learning new farming techniques. They are studying ecosystems. They are inventing renewable energy resources. They are campaigning for better laws to protect the environment. They are reusing, reducing, and recycling. They are chaining themselves to trees in old growth forests. More and more people have come to realize that the earth needs our help. The good news is that we are learning, and there is still time. Not much, but still time. In fact, in many cases, if we just get out of the way, the earth will heal itself. When COVID hit and factories shut down, airlines ceased to fly, and cars stayed in the driveways, we got a glimpse of what life on earth would be like if we weren't around. The air cleared, the skies turned blue, and wild animals explored the now quieter cities. Wild goats perched on flower boxes and peeked in windows in Wales. And dolphins played in previously busy shipping lanes in Europe. Sometimes we just need to get out of the way and let nature do its thing. And sometimes we need to give nature a careful helping hand. We can create safe corridors to encourage animal migration and reproduction. We can build fish ladders to go around the dams we have built. We can try to protect cow caribou and their calves from wolves for the summer till they can fend on their own, as the West Moberly and so too First Nations are doing. We can lobby our governments, municipal, provincial, and federal, to implement policies that move us towards a healthy and sustainable environment. We can pick up trash along our rivers and be careful what we put down our drains. When we can't do these things directly, we can support those who do with our money and our voice. Let's think about the Sheep River. More and more frequently, we have experienced watering restrictions, and the water level was particularly low this year. We can become healers of the Sheep River. We can become caretakers of our river. Let's take a moment to think about what it's like to have a sip of water whenever you want. Imagine that now and join me in this meditation. I turn on my tap. I drink. I cook. I clean. I cool my face. What is the source of this life giver? Miles of pipes through filters and treatment. And before that, miles of pipes from rivers and wells. And before that, miles of rivers from mountain lakes. And before that, mountains of ice and snow. and before that, water from the sky, swept up and falling in a continuous cycle, over and over, rising and falling, so that I can turn on the tap. Thank you, Creator, for the gift of water. May I live in constant gratitude. Amen. Here is good news. God is calling you to be an earth healer. And number two, God has equipped you to do this. What are you going to do? Let's take a moment to think about that in our moment of reflection.